Welcome to the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast.
Hi, I'm David Manti, and welcome to a new episode of the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast. With me this week is Deborah Sanneman, new CEO with Work. Thank you very much for joining me today, Deborah.
Great. Happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, before we get started, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. You could also help us out a lot by leaving the podcast a positive review on whatever platform you use, even a simple thumbs up on YouTube. If you want to email the podcast, you can reach me at david@cannabisequipmentnews.com with email the podcast in the subject line. You can also subscribe to our daily newsletter. Make sure you get it delivered to your inbox first. Deborah, I always like to start with a little bit of background. So what was it that brought you to the cannabis industry, specifically, I guess, the cannabis HR industry?
Yes. Well, actually, I have about 25 plus years in the HCM space, providing payroll, time and labor, and HCM solutions to companies in all different industries. And I would say in 2020, I was the COO of a smaller, more generalist payroll company. But we did do payroll for about 8 different cannabis, small cannabis clients. And in November of that year, I received a letter from our banking institution. And they said, I'm sorry, but we've identified some high risk businesses on your portfolio, and you will need to cease doing business operations with those companies. Those were 8, they considered them to be MRBs, marijuana related businesses, and gave those clients until 12/31, so 45 days, to really find a new payroll provider. And that didn't really sit well with me. And I hadn't really had that experience in cannabis. So that was really my first kind of understanding of the challenges of cannabis companies. Thankfully, I was able to find a solution, and that was another financial institution that those 8 banked with and was able to kind of do some redundant processes and move them over to a more local financial institution that would allow us to do ACI. So that was my first introduction. And then shortly thereafter, in about the spring of 2021, I was recruited by Scott Kenyon, our previous CEO, to join the Work team as the Chief Operating Officer.
What was it, you know, at the beginning that really didn't sit well with you when the banks kind of said, hey, stop doing business with cannabis?
I would say the biggest thing for me was the lack of notification. That notice came just 2 days before the Thanksgiving holiday, and really only given those opportunities about 30 days to really find a new payroll provider. And in this space, when you're doing an implementation and conversion, they can take up to 12 weeks. So one, that was putting those companies at a great disadvantage, impacting their employees at probably the most difficult time of the year when there's added expenses with the holidays. And then the third was, like, why did they feel the need to not find a solution? And so that those were the things that really bothered me, that the cannabis industry was not able to have the same advantages, work with the same partners that, you know, all other companies and industries get to work with.
When you say HCM, it's human capital management, correct?
Correct. And that's kind of the whole employee life cycle from hire to retire. So onboarding, applicant tracking, sourcing candidates, through once they are an employee, offering them performance management, payroll, time and labor management, and then offboarding, which would involve maybe COBRA or extending their benefits past termination.
So is it
401k actually too?
Sorry, what was that last part?
401k and retirement services.
Okay. So is it essentially like turnkey outsourcing HR?
So it is not the function of outsourcing your HR department, even though we do offer managed services. It is providing the platform for which housing all of that employee data Together in one place, and then providing a mobile-friendly application for the employees to access their benefits, the company's offerings, staying in touch with latest company news, and basically their entire total rewards package.
Okay. So what would be like sort of a mainstream equivalent that people might be familiar with? Is it like Intuit?
I would say most people know the household name of ADP and Paychex.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So it is the software solution that provides full human capital management for employers of all sizes.
Very good. What does the cannabis industry have any unique needs that you don't see in other industries when it comes to HCM?
Definitely. Because there's no federal legalization, cannabis companies do have different requirements. 280E reporting is probably the biggest thing that we see. And so cannabis companies first have to comply with that and basically look at their labor costs differently. What is what they're able to deduct and what they're not able to deduct. So 280E reporting is probably one of the most unique thing. The second is access to banking relationships. So because of a lot of financial institutions, their charter will not allow them to work with certain companies that they consider to be high risk. Access to banking relationships to move funds becomes the biggest challenge for anyone in the cannabis business.
Could you describe a little bit more the 280E reporting? You know, what are some of the things that cannabis companies are able to deduct and can't deduct that, you know, traditional companies can?
It is really the cost of the labor that's associated with plant touching activities.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other unique problems that some of these cannabis companies are facing that your solution in particular kind of stands out to help them fix?
So yes, most recently, and unfortunately, a lot of cannabis clients will experience this during their company maturity curve. Paychex recently did something very similar. And the last week of March of this year, Paychex, who was in the cannabis space, decided to exit the cannabis market. And they sent a service agreement changes to their clients the week of March 24th, basically stating that they were no longer able to provide payroll, tax, direct deposit, and timekeeping services for their cannabis block of business. So those clients were again given 30 days to find and select another provider to help them really facilitate their corporate responsibilities, offering quality benefits and payroll services to their employees. So it was a major disruption in the community. And unfortunately, one that's not unfamiliar to a lot of companies in cannabis.
That's true. I mean, the lack of notice is particularly jarring. Is the Paychex withdrawal and other companies' withdrawal, is that primarily due to outside investors trying to be precautious when it comes to something that's not federally legal yet? Is it a board or is it just, you know, what is the reason that you're seeing?
Sure. The biggest reason is the banking, the banking institution. So early in March, Silicon Valley Bank had a run on obviously all of their deposits and Paychex was using a partner. So when Paychex was only had one bank in terms of moving their cannabis funds through for collecting tax funds and payroll funds, that set off a trigger where Paychex had decided that it was an industry that they were not comfortable with and decided to exit the market. Paychex biggest flaw in that is that they didn't have bank redundancy. And that's something that work as being a exclusive cannabis provider. We have multiple banking relationships across the country. Most banks are looking at their what their their portfolio looks like. And so making sure that their portfolio is diverse. And so we do a pretty intense job of due diligence with our banking partners. And we have close to five banking partners that we deal with in order to have that redundancy. And that's what you get when you go and select a cannabis payroll provider instead of a very general payroll provider.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the disruption for not only the company management ownership, but also the employees, I mean, that's a scary time when an employee doesn't know how or when they're getting paid. So essentially, you must see this news come out and just think, all right, another windfall for work.
It comes with some challenges. First, it is the sales process was extremely condensed. We basically went on an all hands on deck approach to help this industry to make sure it was seamless and no disruption. Because you're right, it can cause companies to not have employees show up to work because they're not sure about when their funds are going to be in their bank account. So what we did at work was we quickly gathered our team who 100% support this industry. And we said, how can we onboard this number of clients in a 30-day or less period? And again, as I stated earlier, it's about a 12-week implementation process because we're just
Right.
not talking about payroll, but time and collecting time punches, which is 2 weeks prior to actually getting paid. So what we did is we really were able to quickly navigate and really change the way we implemented this group. It was close to 3,000 employees that we were able to onboard within those 30 days. And one of the biggest things that we did was really just focus first and foremost on that employee experience, making sure that we could collect their time punches and make sure that we could pay employees right directly into their direct deposit and not have to issue them live checks. And then obviously the most important thing is making sure their taxes are paid on time and making sure they're remitted to the federal, state, and local agencies immediately after payday.
When you're looking at banking partners, what is your vetting process when it comes to making sure that they're not going to kind of leave you out in the cold all of a sudden, like you've seen with some of these other companies?
I would say the biggest thing is transparency. We are very upfront about the nature of the companies that we work with. We do an extensive bank vetting process, collecting licenses for each state, for every entity. We do transaction monitoring. So the banks really rely on Work to be their basically eyes and ears on this business. A lot of generalist payroll companies, really, I would say, aren't fully transparent in terms of the companies they're serving. They might code them as agricultural or medical instead of that it is a cannabis business. And so every one of our partners go through a very intense vetting process and full transparency with our banking partners on the source of the funds that we are moving for our clients.
When you're talking about the sales process for some of these people that are all of a sudden looking for HCM platforms, how much of that is establishing trust?
A lot of that is. I would say most of the decisions that we saw is who stands in the industry and separates themselves in terms of full transparency. So Work has been providing HCM solutions for 8 years. There's a lot of new payroll companies that just entered the market. They don't have the skill, the background, and the expertise in understanding the unique challenges of cannabis companies. And so they might have just entered into the space and they might only have one banking partner. That's why it's very important to us to make sure that our clients and our partners and Work are fully aligned, that we are very exclusive and focused to serving this community.
What percentage of the cannabis market do you serve?
So in the MSO space, we have about 80% of the MSOs in the country. And then in the mid-market, I would say we have about 18 of the top 20 largest cannabis companies.
I mean, that's a pretty incredible portfolio.
Yes. And I would say that our reputation has helped us to do that. We've seen a lot of merger and acquisition in this space. So the consolidation and what makes that a little bit more palatable is when the clients are on the same platform. Because again, you're talking about mass amounts of historical data, pay history that we have and are able to consolidate and be able to have that historical reference for our clients. So that's also an advantage with being with work, is that your historical information is still available, whether you were purchased or you're the acquirer and you want access to all those data and records.
In the release, I read that you wanted to concentrate your efforts on creating ethical and supportive workplace culture at work. How do you plan on going about that?
So, I would say that is really going to be leveraging the foundation that we already have in the culture within work. We are almost a fully remote employer, and we have, over the last 2 years, sought to find the best talent and expertise in the industry. So, our culture is one of one very supportive of the industry, and our employees rally behind the industry by supporting different events locally. Very active in terms of legislative updates. And most importantly, when we talk about ethics, is that transparency for our clients. And we want to make sure that we value the partners that we have and that we know or that our clients know how invested we are in supporting the industry and moving them forward towards legalization.
Would you say it's more or less difficult to manage a nearly fully remote workforce?
I would say there are some unique challenges with it. Traditionally, my background was a brick and mortar every day. But what becomes challenging is our clients are all across the country, right? Different time zones have to be managed. Making sure that our support is open to service our clients because payroll is, everything is very urgent in terms of payroll because you're talking about funds being deposited into employees' accounts. So managing an employee remote workforce has its different challenges. I would say the biggest challenge that we will continue to focus on is connection, both connection with our internal employees and connection with our clients. Making sure that face-to-face connection is very important to us. And as I said, with our internal employees, we have a lot of great activities that we do that aren't related to, providing HCM services. We make sure that we're very engaged with our team. We have all hands meetings where different team members get to showcase their skill and expertise to help build our community and stay very strong. And most importantly, we like to have fun at work. So we're always looking at different things. We do regional meetups where we gather together in different regions of the country, an opportunity for our teams to come together and from different departments and work on problem solving. How can we solve problems for our clients? How can we continue to be more efficient and innovative?
I think that's important to still have that sort of physical connection, especially when you're a remote worker. I think it gives you a better, I don't know, maybe a better sense of company buy-in.
Absolutely. So our people team, they plan great events. We definitely celebrate different events throughout the course of the year. For instance, we have been doing Spanish lessons since the beginning of the year for our employees. And it's a great way where they can just kind of have fun. We also have no meeting Fridays. So Fridays are the day in which our team can work side by side, kind of that traditional in the office, over the shoulder learning. We use Fridays as a chance to really work on employee development, both from personal development and their technical skills.
Okay. You'd mentioned your efforts to create an ethical and supportive workplace culture at work. If you were to kind of grade the cannabis industry on having an ethical and supportive workplace, where would it stand?
I would say it's very high. I've been in industries previously and seen where there is a more don't ask, don't tell. And because of the nature of this industry, every conversation we start out with, whenever we are talking to what we consider to be our partners and our vendors, starts with, we are exclusively in the cannabis space. And is that an area you're comfortable? 2 years ago, when I joined work, we didn't have a lot of partners that were willing to work with us. And that was one of the things I wanted to normalize the cannabis industry, give access to cannabis clients the same as every other industry has access to. And I've seen a dramatic change in the last 2 years of the number of partners who are saying, we are comfortable in this space. We understand these are legitimate organizations that are providing valuable services to their customers. And so that is probably the biggest thing. It's a very open dialogue with everyone that we speak with.
As you were trying to normalize the cannabis industry, what worked the best?
I would say is kind of spreading the word that really what we have also seen is a lot of quality talent coming out of some big industry. We're seeing a lot of those Fortune 100 companies and executives join this industry because it's exciting. There's tons of opportunity, and it's a way in which to really propel this industry forward by, again, offering the same thing. So I've been excited to meet some executives in this cannabis space. And when I see their background in these industries that are not at all related to cannabis, it kind of makes me excited about what the future holds for this industry.
Previous to becoming the new CEO, you had a number of successes scaling and growing work. Could you take us through, you know, some of your top three best hits?
Sure. I would say first and foremost, I have been focused internally on our securing our foundation. Work has seen steady growth over its 8 years. And as sometimes when you are trying to support those new business opportunities coming in, the documentation and the efficiency. So as an organization grows and evolves, you do have to kind of reorganize and make sure your documentation. So the first thing that we've been focusing on is policies and procedures and documentation. We have successfully completed our SOC type SOC 1, Type 2, NACHA certifications, and our ACH and AML audits. And so that's the first thing, you know, really focusing on making sure our documentation is solid, and then just re-looking at our processes, making sure that we have great internal communication within our teams to help support our clients. The second focus was really finding quality partners. We have really expanded our work marketplace to offer new products and services that traditionally the cannabis industry did not have access to. An example of that, labor laws. That was one of the first things we did, labor law posters, making sure that the companies are in compliance with federal and state and local labor laws. And then another offering that we just recently released is wages on demand or early wage access. This is something that's more in the mainstream, but that we introduced to our cannabis companies just in the beginning of this year, and it's been extremely popular.
How does that work? Basically, they can draw whenever they want based off of their salary or hours. And do they pay a penalty for those early draws?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's early wage access or earned wage access, meaning those hours have already been worked and earned, but instead of waiting for your traditional 2 week pay frequency to be paid, and sometimes the advantage is those employees don't have to subject themselves to payday loans with high interest rates. There is no cost to the employer on offering that. And the employees can draw up to $200 off of their earned wages. And there's a very minimal transaction fee for doing that.
No, I used to work for a essentially a payday loan place back around the college days, and I just spend most of my days trying to convince people to go anywhere else.
I'm sure. So this is really, I will tell you, been very popular as a retention tool for employers, because everyone gets into those binds now and then, unexpected expenses. And so this is a tremendous benefit offering to our clients.
What are some new services that you're looking or hoping to launch for cannabis clients?
Sure, we're getting ready to do a launch actually this month with Equifax, and that is income verification. So, as the employees are seeking to get maybe a car loan, maybe to purchase their first home, they can very quickly go through that process. And so we're launching the Equifax integration that will allow employers to be more efficient. Lots of paperwork that's associated with that, classifying, past pay history, gross wages, just, bonus income, maybe commissions. And so we've created an integration with Equifax that we're going to be launching later this month.
Well, that sounds exciting. How did that come about?
Just through knowing about that previously, and that other industries have access to it. And so we partnered with Equifax, and are offering that as we speak.
Were you at all frustrated when you came to the industry and essentially compared to what you were working in, they were in the dark ages?
Yes, but I will say, and it was funny when I came into this industry, everyone said cannabis years are like dog years. So 1 year in cannabis is like seven. And I couldn't agree more than that. So my 2 years has felt like, close to 14 in terms of really the advances that we've made in this industry, quality partners, additional services that we're able to offer. And so it's very exciting to see the rapid change. And that's been very fulfilling for me. I've been in the industry for 25 years and it was kind of the same old grind. I wasn't very fulfilled in terms of the impact that I was able to make. And so coming into cannabis, it's been just exciting and it's been a great 2 years that have like sped by.
Prior to joining the industry, did you have any personal connection to the industry?
I did not.
I was just curious because sometimes, even if it's a friend or a loved one where, it's just kind of touched their life on the periphery.
Yeah, now that you mention that, my mother-in-law in 2017 was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And so that aggressive form of cancer, and towards the end of her life, it was very interesting. But the doctor and specialist recommended for her to use some CBD oils to help her with monitoring her pain levels. And so I remember her sitting down with my daughter, who was very young and still in high school. And she's like, "Did you ever think that your grandmother would use cannabis?" And, my daughter was like, "No, but I will tell you." And so, yes, I did have experience. I almost forgot about that for a moment there. But I will tell you, it did give her relief in the end stages of fighting such a terrible, terrible disease.
How much longer do you think cannabis years will be like dog years before it kind of plateaus?
I would say we're still probably a couple years away from that. I think what will slow down that time frame in cannabis is when we get to rescheduling and legalization. But right now, it is just so much change very rapidly. And so that's why partnering with some of these partners who really understand that are helping us move the industry forward at such a rapid pace.
When you're dealing with issues like workplace and payroll compliance, how often are you dealing with a new client that doesn't even know they're necessarily out of compliance?
Yeah, I would say that's more common in the under 50 market. So you have these new licenses, and you know their background and specialty is in the cannabis space, right? They're trying to run a business. It's a startup. Startups are hard enough as is. Adding on the corporate responsibilities of staying in compliance, paying your employees, developing handbooks, communication, and documentation becomes a challenging task for that new business owner. And so what we do at Work is we try to offer a solution that helps guide them through those evolving stages of their business. We were just talking about a great success story. About 18 months ago, we had a new client with 30 employees. And recently, they are up over 300 in 18 months. And because of the partnership, we're able to help them navigate those challenges through our managed service offering to allow them to focus on their core competency and allow us to make sure they stay compliant and that they are providing quality benefits to attract the talent into their organization.
How many employees does Work have?
We have 77 currently employees. And we provide services for over 50,000 employees in the cannabis space.
So how do you foresee Work growing, you know, as you kind of grow market share within the cannabis industry?
Sure. We have quite a few initiatives for this year. We're going to continue to be efficient and scale, you know, moving out of that startup mentality to the stand-up mentality. And so that's been our focus over the last 2 years. Being innovative. Bringing quality products and services to our clients. We're also exploring opportunities in terms of employee benefits space, property and casualty, and health and life benefits. We've seen a tremendous addition of the number of benefit offerings that clients are offering. Before, it was one or two health plans. Now we're seeing clients, in order to attract and retain quality employees, offering five and six different types of plans for to fit kind of the population that they're employing.
What are some other things that companies can do to be more competitive when it comes to bringing talent in house, like whether it's healthcare or other sort of payroll incentives? What else is out there that might help an operator set himself apart from a competitor?
Sure. We've seen such a focus on total rewards. And what does that involve? And all employees are motivated and inspired by different things. So I think it's really staying really in tune to what your employee population and demographic is important to them. Quality retirement programs, I think, is another area that we've seen becoming more popular. Work offers a MEP program, a multiple employer program for retirement. So it's allowing companies to access these quality benefits and kind of in a larger pool together. So we see companies continuing to just really offer different programs like their early wage access, quality health programs, retirement services, even, you know, discounts, employee discount programs, which is also a great benefit offering.
So how do you go about getting the other 20% of the MSOs and the rest of the market share that's out there? Are these operators that have just always done it a certain way? Are they, you know, how do you hope to allure the, attract that business?
So I think it's just really being kind of the quiet giant in the market. Knowing that we are dedicated to furthering the cannabis industry along, being there in the situation where Paychex drops all of their clients, showing our stability and our steadfastness of really just working with the community and being there. We will continue to focus on both our small and mid-market business, as well as our MSO and other companies within the cannabis supply chain. We primarily have been focusing on plant touching, but there's such an opportunity for us with the data that we have to provide more analytics to these companies to help them with their hiring decisions, and also within the supply chain, connecting these data points, in terms of dispensaries, their POS information, how does that help them schedule more appropriately their employees, helping them with technology, we just recently partnered with another organization for learning management. Making sure that when employees are onboarded, they're receiving quality training and education on the tasks that they're going to be asked to perform. So we're really looking to kind of expand in that area through all of the different interactions that not just that relates to their individual employees, but in their operational units, in their finance departments as well.
Do you have a department dedicated to sort of like analytics, trying to kind of tease out usable information for those partners?
Yes, we do. People analytics is very popular, and we are working and should be releasing by the end of this year cannabis specific analytics that will help the businesses that we serve attract and retrain and look at that benchmarking data in terms of the data that we have access in the historical data to see those trends and those key metrics.
What are some of the things that your clients are looking for from work that you're not able to provide yet?
We just recently did our client advisory board. So we're, as we talked about with Connection, we stay in front of our clients to help them with their strategic planning in their organizations. And most recently, leave of absence management has been something that our clients are saying we definitely have a need here. Also, in terms of this generational shift in organizations, which is kind of taking those annual performance reviews to a more frequent interaction as organizations and their population shifts and changes. And so those are things that we are actively pursuing to be able to kind of complement our already diverse product offering.
So younger generations want to be reviewed more often?
They do. There is a more desire to have an understanding of where they stand, making sure that they know that they're contributing to the growth of an organization. And so in my history, it's, everyone was used to annual performance reviews, and I'm probably dating myself a little bit. But what we have seen is this younger generation that's entering the workforce, they want to know where they stand. They want touch points. And so those frequency of those interactions has become more frequent, and it's making sure that there's goal setting, there's recognition. Gamification has been really popular with this generation. And so we have not only kind of piloted some of those programs internally, but are looking to be able to offer that out to our clients.
So the younger workers kind of want a rating, like you're rating your Uber drivers just at the end of every day. Like, was it a five star day?
Hopefully not. We're not at the daily level, but definitely we are seeing at a minimum a monthly.
Oh my goodness. I'm interested. So what were some of your efforts in terms of gamification?
We use a system to do internal recognition. Another big thing in our organization. So we have our themes, our corporate themes and values. And so what has been just such a positive impact on our employees is that internal recognition. When you're not sitting in an office to be able to say, hey, great job on that client, or we loved getting that response to the survey that we sent out, we share those internally, and then we use a system to provide bonus points so that employees can share. They get an allotment each month, and they can call out their peers for like just helping them out, going the extra mile in terms of servicing a client. And so we then award what we consider to be our mountain mover of the month. And our mountain mover is just that. It is the person that moves mountains to help service both internally and externally our clients.
So who was the May mountain mover?
The May mountain mover, I believe, was Adam Keith, and he is on our TLM team.
Very good. Very good. No, I like to see when those new incentive programs work, and particularly work with attracting the younger generation, just because that's something that not only this industry, but other industries have just really struggled with when it comes to turnover.
Absolutely. And we do see turnover, unfortunately, from our clients. We monitor the contraction in the market. And over the last year, we have seen a decline in the number of employees under contract. It's been steady. We do feel that that shift is coming where we'll see more growth. And I think what we're seeing is our clients are also looking to create efficiencies. They have less access to capital right now. So they're trying to create efficiencies through the help of our tools that we offer. So we're very in tune to different markets, what markets are growing and what markets we're seeing a little bit of contraction in.
Are you seeing contraction in specific areas, or is it kind of across the board?
It's more in the legacy markets.
Okay.
That have been up there. We're seeing growth in Florida, New York, Maryland, and Missouri as we see state legislation coming into play. We're seeing more licenses being offered and some expansion in those states.
What was your response to the news out of Minnesota?
Sorry, not.
Oh, just like in terms of legalizing. Legalizing in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Yes. I mean, we continue to work with our current MSO. So usually they are pretty aware of, you know, the changes in the market. So most recently, Maryland, which is doing adult use effective 7/1, and Missouri. So a lot of our clients have been preparing for that and working together with us to say, okay, we're going to be opening up 5 new dispensaries in the next month. So we help to get those companies established, making sure their licensing is in place, and also making sure the banking relationships are established. So I'm sure we'll see the same coming forward as well.
Okay. Well, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time. This is an aspect of the industry that I just wasn't very familiar with. But before we get out of here, is there anything else that we might have left off, or anything in particular that you want to make sure the Cannabis Equipment News audience knows, either about yourself or work?
No, I would just say that if you haven't recently checked out our website, definitely go to our website, because we have a lot of new partners that we're partnering with. And work has evolved. And now what we are looking forward to doing is continuing to assist this industry. We have some great partners. We have a great team, and we're really looking forward to this next 12 months.
Okay. Where did the work name come from? I mean, I understand, but I mean, like, work with an umlaut, that one I was surprised.
Yeah. Our founder, Keegan Peterson, you know, came up with the name. I think it's great. And people really are like, oh, that's just very, very different in terms of doing that. And our website is www.enjoywork.com.
Okay. Very good. Well, Deborah, thanks again for your time, and I hope we get a chance to talk again soon.
Absolutely. It was great. Have a great day.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. You can also help us out a lot by leaving the podcast a positive review on whatever platform you use. If you want to email the podcast, you can reach me at david@cannabisequipmentnews.com and subscribe to our daily newsletter. Make sure you get it delivered to your inbox first. For Deborah Sandeman, CEO, new CEO, congratulations, at work, I'm David Manti. This is the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast.